I want to teach you guys how to get out into the waters. I mean, get out into the waters. You learn to get out in the waters and your life is going to be turned upside down. Well, I'm going to show you tonight what can't not come out into the waters. Well, they're going to come out, but they're going to get buried up there in the waters. Hallelujah. All right, we're going to begin. Go to Exodus chapter 2. We're going to pick it up with Moses. Now, Pharaoh had given a decree, very interesting, that all the newborns be thrown into the Nile. That's in chapter 1, the last verse there. In fact, if you want to look at it, in chapter 1, verse 22, it said, Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born, you shall cast it into the river, and every daughter shall live. Isn't that amazing? All the firstborn. See, the devil always knows when a deliverer is about to rise. He wanted to wipe out all the sons during Jesus' time. He knew a deliverer was about to rise. So he wiped out all the firstborns during that time. What's he doing again? Wiping them out with abortion because he knows there's a generation about to arise and he's trying to stomp out that generation. And that's why he's doing that. But he can't stop it. He's not going to stop it. The generation is going to rise anyway. Amen. And so he's throwing all of them in the Nile. But God said, all right, since you did that, we'll see what I'll do. I'll raise up a deliverer and I'm going to bring him out of the water. No deliverer like this ever born on the face of the earth. I will give him such power with the waters that he will stomp out, working with the Holy Ghost, your entire kingdom of Pharaoh's army. Eventually going to be drowned up in that water. The very waters he tried to destroy the people of God with, he got destroyed. You reap what you sow. Amen. Exodus chapter 2, verse 1. And there went a man out of the house of Levi and took with him the wife of a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. So what she did is she put Moses up in the water and she sent Moses' sister to go watch it. See, that was foreshadowing. A deliverer, always one that will carry power with the waters, must be born out of the waters. Just like Jesus, before one miracle ever took place, he had to go into the baptismal waters. So he's called out of the baptismal water. She put him in there, and just to make a long story short, because you know the story, his sister was watching, and of course Pharaoh's daughter comes out and finds him in the water. And then her sister, moved with the Spirit of God, runs to Pharaoh's daughter. She goes and says, do you want me to find one of the maids of Israel to help raise this boy for you? And she goes, go find me one. So his sister goes, finds mama and brings mama. And so mama raises Moses in Pharaoh's court and gets paid for it. She said, give that woman wages to raise my newborn now, because that's my boy now. But give that woman, whoever she is, give her wages. And mama's sitting there, yep, I'm getting paid now to raise my own child. Isn't that God or what? When you get in the water, favor starts happening. And she called him Moses because Moses' name is drawn out of the water. That's the name of Moses. And it was very important that he be drawn out of the water because God was going to give him authority with the waters. And you cannot have authority with the water until you're drawn out of the water. That in itself was a baptism right there. That's foreshadowing us that's going to have authority with the living waters. We're going to have to go into the waters, be drawn out of the waters. And when we're drawn out, there is going to be favor. God didn't assign him to just anybody. He assigned him to Pharaoh's daughter. He was raised in Pharaoh's court. Immediately, the wealth Moses was the son. When you get drawn out of the waters, you're going to have instantaneous favor. Now, Moses starts making a mistake, to make a long story short, because there's a deliverer on the inside of him. When you got something on the inside of you, it's going to come out of you. Now, when it's in adolescent stage or when it's in child infant stage, it's going to come out of you the wrong way. Just like Abraham, he had nations inside him. He could not help, but he goes, I got to birth something. I got to birth somebody. Maybe Eleazar will be it. Maybe it'll be Ishmael. You're going to make mistakes. And that's what Moses did. He had a deliverer. He saw those Egyptians one day and he looked to the right. He said he looked to the left and then he smote him. smote it because there was a deliverer on the inside of him. And God said, nuh-uh, Moses, it ain't coming like that. He goes, I'm not about to let it come by your flesh, about your sufficiency. So what did he do? Let him out into the desert. Went out in the desert, met up there with Jethro's daughters, come to the well, and Moses, right there at the well, started feeding the flocks. And you know what? That's what he did for 40 years. Say 40. Stay right next to a well and learn how to water the sheep. Every day, you're going to have to draw water. And with that well's dried up, you're going to have to go find water for the sheep. You got to lead them, because one day you're going to lead 3 million of those sheep. You're going to lead them in a desert, and sometimes there's not going to be any water. And so he had to learn how to draw the waters out. For 40 years, he stuck by a well. God put him next to the water for 40 years. Why? Because he was going to use the water to deliver the entire nation. You're going to have authority that water. You're going to have to be hanging around the water. You're going to have to learn to draw the water. For 40 years, he learned to draw the water up and feed. God's simplicity is amazing to me. He said, son, you've been feeding the sheep a whole lot, but you haven't been watering them. He goes, in fact, very few water anybody. They just feed them. And sometimes they didn't feed them nothing. He goes, at least you're feeding good food. He goes, now it's time to water the sheep. Water. Not just feed, but water too. You can't just feed a flock of sheep and not water them. What's more important? I mean, you can live without food for a long time, but you don't go very long without water. He said, you better learn to draw the water out of the well and give them water. Give them living water. Give them bread and manna and give them living water. He goes, when you get that right, things will start happening. Amen. So now we know the day that Moses led those sheep on the backside of that desert. And of course, he has the burning bush experience. And God says, now it's time, Moses. Now I got to get you up quickly to the Red Sea. So I'm paraphrasing a lot of this. So he gets in there. Now what? Notice his first major miracle. He throws the rod on the ground. But after that, Pharaoh's rod shows up and doing it. And Moses' serpent ate Pharaoh's serpent. And then he said, all right, tomorrow, that Nile River that feeds all of you. Now, this is his first demonstration with the water. See, God is going to use the demonstrations with the living water. And what he was doing with Moses' water, he said, that Nile will be turned to blood tomorrow. And sure enough, it was. You see the authority with the water. We see this several different plagues. There was authority with the water in the process of deliverance. And there were so many plagues that come down upon Pharaoh by the time the death angel showed up. I mean, they were done. You can't imagine what Egypt looked like after lice, botch, blood, frogs came out of the water and filled every part of their other frogs crawling up in their beds and everything. Pestilence, locusts. Could you imagine what Egypt looked like by the time those plagues went through there? But I'm going to tell you, each time Pharaoh's heart, because Pharaoh is the world system. Egypt's the world system. It does not want to let you go very easy. You got to force the hand. And God finally called his people out. He got them out. Where's the first place he took them when he called the people out? And this is where we're going to begin tonight. Where's the first place he took them? To the Red Sea, the very first place he took them, into the borders of the sea. That's where we're going to begin. Before we do that, I wanted you to look at a few verses. Turn to John chapter 19, verse 34. He says, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side. Look at this. And forthwith came there out blood and water. Say blood and water. Red Sea. Blood and water. Red Sea. You see that? The Red Sea was a foreshadowing the blood and the water. How many of you are washed in the blood? Raise your hand. If you're not, we're going to pray for you. We got the washing of the blood. We did not get the washing of the water. And that's why we're in the condition we're in. Amen. Go to Hebrews real quick. Chapter 9, verse 19. And it says, and when Moses has spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, I mean, after he had given the entire law, watch what happens. He took the blood of the calf, which was the blood, foreshadowing the blood of Jesus, and the water. Say water. The blood of calves and goats and with water. Say with water. Blood and water. And scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book and the people. Sprinkled what? The book and the people. With what? Blood and water. When you were born again, everybody knows what the blood of Jesus did. But where's the water? I know my spirit was washed. But what happened? Well, the water. I'm glad you asked. Let's go back to the Red Sea. Exodus chapter 14. Now, Egypt, I mean God pinned Pharaoh to the ground with those plagues. He pinned him to the ground. And he finally let him go after the death angel went through. He said, get out of here, go. And then Moses come back and said, well, before we go, we want to have all the jewels, the gold, the silver. We want to take all your wealth with us when we leave. He said, fine, take it, get out. I mean, God wore the devil down. Egypt is the type of a world system. Say system. That's where they were slaves. That's where there was poverty, debt, lack, sin, sickness, disease, idolatry. You can imagine it. It was there. But the first thing God does when he pulls us out of the world, he's got to send us through the Red Sea. He's got to send us through the blood. We got to go through the blood. Why? Because he's going to separate us in that sea from the world. He's got to separate two parts of you. That's why there was blood and water. The blood's going to wash your spirit, but that water's going to wash your body. And the living water's going to wash your soul, because your soul did not get born again. Your spirit got born again. Your body didn't get born again. It still has that nature working in you. It fights you. That body fights you. When you wake up, I don't feel like it. You let that body run your life, you'll never get anywhere with God. You let your soul run your life, you'll never get anywhere with God. It's the spirit that's willing. It's the flesh that is weak. He gave you something for your flesh too. He didn't just leave you to discipline yourself all your life for your flesh. He gave you water. More importantly, he gave you living water. Full of life. Full of virtue. Full of power. He put a well inside you. First thing he knew, brought him up to the sea and said, now I have to separate you from Egypt. I got to walk you through. So he takes him to the border sea. Now look at verse 5. And it was told the king of Egypt. That's the devil. That's a world system. See, the world system wants to stay attached to you. You know what we've been having? We've been having the people of God walk through the Red Sea, but the world system stayed attached to them when they walked through. Pharaoh's army did not get plowed down in the sea. Pharaoh's army got through because we didn't get blood and water. There's supposed to have been a baptism of water that went with the blood. There was supposed to be a continual baptism of living water, so Pharaoh's armies or the world systems didn't get through. But what happens? We end up struggling with systems of thoughts. We struggle with mammon. You were never supposed to ever struggle with debt, poverty, lack, need, or destruction, or disease. As soon as he got him through the Red Sea, he made a covenant with him and said, I'll never put these diseases on you again. And for 40 years, they walked free of disease. Now all we do is argue about health care in America. God has a health care solution. I mean a big time health care solution. He was separating us from the systems of Egypt. Because I'm telling you right now, Pharaoh, after God buckled him, he still wasn't done. The devil don't want to give up easy. It was the water that drowned him in the sea. Now watch this. Verse 5, it was told the king of Egypt, the people fled. And the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people and said, now watch this. This is what the devil wants right here. Why have we done this? We have let go Israel from serving us. He does not want to let you go. He wants to be your master. Your spirit can belong to God. He'll still want to be the master of your body and the master of your soul and the master of the atmosphere of your life and the master. He wants to be a master. He wants to keep the people of God in bondage. He's not ready to let you go very easy. Your spirit got snatched out when the blood of Jesus snatched you out. So what does he do? He comes after you through your mind, will, and emotional faculties, and he comes after you through the flesh. And he will pursue you. But God has a remedy. His remedy is the baptism in the living waters, blood and water. Say blood and water. Look at this, verse 7. He took 600 chosen chariots. He'll come after you. And all the chariots of Egypt and the captains, those are the strong men. Man, they'll pursue you. And every one of them came. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh the king. Verse 9. And the Egyptians pursued after them. And the horses and the chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army overtook them encamping by the sea. So here they are. God got them up to the sea. Now this is amazing because Pharaoh army closing in behind them and you got a Red Sea in front of you. But they never done walk through no water before. And neither have we. We've known God for a long time. We've been saying, God, deliver me from mine enemies. Deliver me from mine enemies. And God said, step into the water. Step into the water. But he tells Moses, don't come crying to me. Watch this. Look here in verse 13. Moses said unto the people, fear you not. Now Moses hadn't seen God had done about 10, 12 plagues already. So he's got some serious confidence in God. The people don't, but Moses does. Because he's seen God perform. When he first started, he couldn't even speak. He's sitting there arguing with God. And God, I mean, he argued so much, God had to call out Aaron to go with him to talk for him. I mean, when God starts out with you, he gives you a whole lot of grace. But now Moses has seen God operate. He's confronted Pharaoh. And these people come up out of Egypt. And so he has some confidence. And he says, stand still. And see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. Now, that takes a lot of faith when you got a Red Sea in front of you. Okay, you're Moses. That ain't never happened before. Now, nobody ever parted no Red Sea. You got an entire Egyptian army that wants you back under slavery, wants you back under bondage, wants you back under sickness and disease, poverty, debt, lack, wants to rule and control your emotions. Does not want to let you go. Verse 14. And the Lord shall fight for you. And you will hold your peace. In other words, he goes, you don't have any faith coming out of your mouth. Just keep it shut. He goes, because the Lord's going to fight for you. Now, when did the Lord start fighting for them? Now, when did the Lord start fighting for them that day? You can add in your Bible, in the water. The Lord will fight for you in the water. When you're getting the water, the Lord will start fighting for you. You sit on the bank, you're going to get eaten up. I'm telling you right now, you better start jumping in the water. Because where we're going, our safety is going to be in the water. Safety will be in the baptism. Safety is when we step into the living waters. The Lord will fight for us once we get in the water. That's his battleground. Because that's where he's going to swallow up the enemy. That's where he's going to swallow them up. You sit on the shoreline and Pharaoh's going to eat you alive. The Lord's going to fight for you once you get yourself in the water. Booyah. Verse 15, you better put some stars by it, little happy faces. Say, look, look. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Obviously, Moses was saying, all right, God, we got Pharaoh and water. Moses ought to have known by now. Said, Moses, I drew you out of the water. I called you drawn out of the water. I've kept you around water all alive. Several of the plagues with powers over the water. What makes you think I am not going to give you authority with the water right now? All that was foreshadowing a day of a new people that were going to rise with authority, with living waters. And these living waters, they will consume the systems of this world. And you are talking about a deliverance with God's people in this hour and day. It's going to liken the deliverance of their spirit, because these living waters are going to wash the systems of the world out of us. It's going to deliver us from the systems of the world. But God said, don't be crying to me, because that's where we're at. God, my enemies, when are you ever going to help me? And God said, get in the water. You know, he actually said, move forward. That's what he said, verse 15. He said, speak to the children of Israel that they go forward. Could you imagine Moses at that point? Huh? Go forward. There is a Red Sea. God said, go through the blood, go through the water. You don't do anything. I'm telling you what, the enemies, the forces of darkness and evil, it's upon this generation that are brewing right now. Even stuff you can't see that's brewing. I'm telling you, the people of God are going to have to get into the water. And they're going to have to get deep into the water. Move forward, troops, into the water. Moses had to give that command before God told him. He told him, start walking. I guess they thought they was going to jump up in there and swim across. I don't know. But God said, move the people, give them the command to move into the waters. Everyone say, move into the waters. Get yourself in the water. Don't worry, the water's really good anyway. Hallelujah. Look at this, verse 16. But lift thou up thy rod, stretch forth thy hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Now notice this. I said, what's that dry ground? Because I need to take you somewhere real quick. Go to 1 Corinthians 10. Hold your place there. We'll be right back. Because they went through dry ground. I got it today. I find out why they went through on dry ground. See, I get on something like that, I can't get off till I get the answer. I said, Lord, why did I go through dry ground? Why was it dry ground? He goes, because those waters were waters of judgment. Those were waters of separation. They were never meant to touch you. They were just meant to wash the systems of this world from you. They were meant to deliver you, so you wouldn't be carrying them around for 20 years. And needing a sozo session every other week. But nothing to do with sozo, though, because you need sozo. We'll get you in the water. Amen. Hallelujah. Now go to 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1. Look at this. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you would be ignorant. Well, man, I don't want to be ignorant either, so I'm in agreement. How that our fathers were under the cloud and passed through the sea. I would not you be ignorant how that our fathers were under the cloud. Now that's important. The cloud and passed through the sea. You're going to see something really cool in a minute. And all were baptized. You know what baptism means? Submersion, immersion, continual immersion in water. They were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. God called this passing through the water baptism, but nobody ever got wet. And so I said, why are they going through on dry ground? If it was a baptism, they're supposed to be immersed. They're supposed to have some submersion in the water. So you see the baptism. Now go back to Exodus 14. Now you got to understand all of this has to do with you. It has to do with where you are. It has to do with the enemy that keeps trying to follow you around. Anybody ever have an assignment from the enemy that he just won't leave you alone in the area and he's constantly bothering you, bugging you, just everywhere you go. It's the same thing all the time. That is a system that came out of Egypt. It was supposed to have been buried in the water. If you get yourself in the water, that system will die. It will not continue to follow you around. The waters are going to break that system from your life. Go back to verse 16. Exodus 14. But lift up thy rod, stretch forth thy hand over the sea and divide it. The children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. You know why? These were going to be waters of separation, waters of judgment. These waters weren't meant to touch you. These waters were meant to drown what's been following you into the sea. These waters were waters of deliverance. When God brought them out of Egypt, he was going to make sure Egypt didn't go with them. You know, a lot of them couldn't get Egypt out of their heart. Even though he drowned the whole army in the sea, they kept wanting to go back. It's hard to get systems out of people, but these waters will wash. You stay in these waters long enough, they're going to wash that stuff up out of you. They're going to break those systems, systems of thoughts, systems of training, systems of poverty, debt, lack, need, and control. Those are control systems. See, why do we let these people out of here? Let's go back and get them that they may serve us. The devil wants to be your master. Even though your spirit's born again, he still wants to rule and reign over your life. I'm not going to have it. Amen. All right, now watch this. Go to verse 19. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel. Now, what did he say? They were baptized in the cloud and the sea. So the angel was up in front of them. But now Pharaoh's army got behind them. So the angel and the cloud, while they're going through the waters, what happens is the waters rose up on both sides, walls of water, and then the cloud comes over them the whole time. It's moving because they're moving forward into the sea, and that cloud was in front of them. It starts moving through the Red Sea to go behind them. So they get baptized. You got a cloud above them, and they got water around them. All right? They're under a baptism. You have to get into that place with God. And the pillar, verse 19, a cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. Now, I like this because I never saw this. Even when I saw the movie Moses, Charlton Heston, I didn't see this. Verse 20, and it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Now, the cloud was there. So it stood there. Now, notice this. It was a cloud and darkness to the Egyptians. But it gave light by night to the people of God. So that one came not near the other all the night. Did you see it? They passed through the Red Sea at nighttime. They didn't pass through the Red Sea when the sun was shining. They passed through the waters. What did it say in Genesis? Darkness was the face of the waters. The cloud, the Holy Ghost, was brooding over the waters. Brooding over the waters. The cloud was brooding over them. It was night. But notice what he just said. To the Egyptians, it was darkness. But he gave light. Even though it was night, he gave light. He said, let there be light. Let there be light. I'm going to cause you to pass through the waters at night. But you're going to be in light. I'm going to bring light to the waters. Here we see the waters of Genesis all over again. Right here he says, it can be darkness to them because the world system can't see the living waters. That's why they'll run all up into that water because they don't know what's in it. But to the children of God, you see the water. You can't have anything with the water unless you see it. So they go through at night, but they're seeing. You see that? They're going through all night long. They're walking through the water. You should not be able to see because they're in a wall of water. But the light has been shining on their side because we have the light. Everyone say, let there be light, because you start seeing the waters of God on the inside of you. The world may not see them. Next time somebody asked me, are you a doctor? I said, I got a PhD in living water. You can't see it, but I can see it. And it's why I'm being blessed. I'm telling you, I am going to be one blessed man. I can promise you. This church is going to be one blessed church. How do you know that? Because that stuff is going off on the inside of me. I'm living in the living waters, and I'm going to be called out of those waters. I know I am. And so are you. You get up in those waters. I lay down in the fountains of the deep. I'm in the sea. I lay in the fountains of the deep. I'll fill my water pot with water. Take me out past the knees, past the loins. Take me into the waters to swim in. Take me into the waters of Noah, where the waters exceedingly prevail. Upon my mountains, upon my high hills, I lay down in the depths. I lay where the fountains of the deep are. I await my time to be called out of these waters. I await my time to be called out. When I'm called out of these waters, I will have power with these waters. I'll have great authority with these waters, because that's the nature of the water. You want authority with the water, you got to get in the water. You got to have baptism. Jesus knew that. That's why he told John, you got to put me down, John. Because I am foreshadowing a lot of stuff here, John. I'm taking the old and the new together, and God's about to do something new. He's going to take me down in those waters, because the new person's come up out of these waters. The Holy Ghost will be waiting on me on the other side. And my Father will be speaking, this is my beloved Son. Hear him, and the miracles will start flowing. Why? Because he had power with the waters, and so did Moses. That's good stuff. All night they were in the light. You have an inheritance of light, and that light is the entrance of thy word bringeth light. It's going to come in, the entrance of thy word, and it's going to light up the water on the inside of you. And when it starts lighting up the living water, you'll find out what's in you. The word was supposed to light the water. Once you start seeing what's in you, you can start drawing it out. The Egyptians couldn't see the water. We couldn't either. We were passing through the red, but we weren't passing through the sea. We got to go through blood and water. You see why? The necessity of the living water. It just couldn't be blood alone. You have to have living water. Urabasiki. I like it. And Moses stretched out his hands over the sea, verse 21, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all the night. Say all the night. They were in the light. Hey, I don't care if everybody around you and a whole nation went in darkness. You can be in the light. I don't care if the world system, how dark it gets, because I got a cloud between me and the world. And these waters were sent to separate me further and further and further away. The more I get in the water, the further I'm getting away from the world. The more you get washed in the living water, the more you get delivered, the less of that world you want. You don't get in the water, you keep half of you still wanting to go back to Egypt all the time, see. Your spirit's born again, but your flesh is ruling. It says, take me back to Egypt where I can party. Take me back. You get in the water, it'll separate you. You won't have anything to do with Egypt. I said, God, get me out. Get Egypt out of me. Get these systems out of me. Get debt, poverty, lack, need, and destruction away from me. Get sickness and disease. I don't want any of the world system. I don't want any uncleanness. I don't want any of it. I want to be in the living water. Oh! Children of Israel went into the midst of the sea. They went into the sea. Get yourself in the water. Turn to your neighbor and say, get yourself in the water. And said the waters were a wall to them. So you're going to walk through these waters, but your enemies are not. Your enemies, they're going to go in. But they're going in on the darkness side. Don't go in the waters on the darkness side. You go in by the light. I like it. Verse 23, here we go. Wait, do you see what God led them to after the Red Sea? Verse 23, and the Egyptians pursued. Come on. Hey, this is when you want your enemies to pursue you. You want some of me? Come on. Come on, baby. I don't need to be running from you no more. Just let me get in the water and you come on, baby. Come on in these waters. You get yourself in the water, you can invite your enemies to come in, because they ain't coming out. You'll be running from him, all scared and afraid of him, but you get in the water, you'll be inviting him. Come on. Come on in. The water's fine. The only thing that's going to emerge out of these waters is that which is godly. Come on in. All the systems together, come on in the water. I get down in the water, I said, just come on. You've been bothering me for a whole lifetime, but now I know how to defeat him. I know how to keep him out of my emotions now. I know how to stay in the living water. Man, I've had more stuff in the last 10 days. People, stuff going crazy all around me. I mean, some serious stuff happening. I mean, some real serious, serious situations with people that are close to me and a bunch of stuff. My brother got in a wreck the other night, and 4 feet from a gas propane truck, if they hit it, it exploded the whole thing. But that's just one thing. All kinds of stuff. And I'm like, God, what is going on? Because I am in a world that I am so happy right now and all this stuff going on around me. It's the enemy real upset. You get in the living water, you live in another world. You're not living on the top of the well where all the strife is. You're not living on the top of the world where all the problems are. You're living down in the water. There's a whole other world down there. Everything can be shaking up there, but you're not shaking. That's why Jesus could sleep in the boat and the disciples were going crazy. He was sleeping in the boat. You're not going to do that till you learn to live in the water. See, if you live in the water, the storms will never bother you. In fact, you're going to rise up out of the storms and rebuke them right there. So be still. I want authority. I'm asking God while I'm in the water. I said, give me authority with the water. Natural. Jesus had both because he had to fulfill the old and new. He had both. He got authority with natural water and major authority with the spiritual water. I want it. You have authority with the spiritual water, with the living water. Ha! There is no devil that can go in the living waters and come out. He get drowned in the midst of the sea. What happened when Jesus cast some devils out and said, send us into those hogs? He said, I'll send them in the hogs. And then them hog drove into the sea and they never recovered. How about your mountains? Be thou cast into the sea. Get on out in the water. In verse 23, and the Egyptians pursued, went in after them. Come on. Come on, Daddy. This is when you want your enemies pursuing you. Into the midst of the sea, even all of Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, his horsemen, his strong men. You know those guys that intimidate you, used to intimidate you? Ones you think you're never going to change this area in your life, you can't ever get victory over. Say, come on in the water, because when I come out of these waters, you ain't coming out. It came to pass in the morning watch. It's daylight now. It's time for God to work. The Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire, and he troubled the host of the Egyptians. They in trouble now. And what did God say? He goes, I'll fight for you. You stand still and I'll fight for you. It's just where you're standing. If you're standing still on Egypt's side of the Red Sea, you're going to get whooped. Bad. If you're standing still on the other side of the Red Sea, you're going to get to watch the Lord. It's all a matter of where you're standing. Don't be standing still in the wrong place. Some people, they camp in a certain place. Well, I'm just going to stand and see the salvation of God. And you're standing right there next to the enemy. You didn't go through the water. If you go through the water, then you can stand still and watch God take care of your enemies. But if you're standing still on the other side of the water, you're in trouble. Get into the water and then stand still and watch God move. It's all a matter of where you are. That's good. But that's good. How many want to get in the water? In verse 25, he took off the chariot wheels. I like it. That they drove them heavenly. And so the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel. Now they got up into that water. They got up too far up in there and they realized they was in trouble. Because the waters, these are friendly waters to you. They're waters of judgment to the enemy, but they're friendly to you. If you're the righteous, if you're in the blood and the water, they're friendly. But your enemy get all up in there and said, uh-oh. God's fighting for them. By the time they want to turn around, said, too late. Too late, stretch forth. And down comes that water. Said the children of Israel watching the Egyptians floating in the banks of the sea. That, my friend, is victory. God swallowed up Egypt and all the system through the baptismal waters of the Red Sea. I don't know about you, but I'm going to get myself in that sea. I'm going to get myself in that water because I am tired of the enemy fighting me year after year and struggling with the same old stuff. I'm tired. I want him down in the bottom of the sea. Amen. This will give you a new meaning. Remember when Pharaoh threw all the firstborns into the sea? Said, cast your firstborn in the sea. God said, all right, reap what you sow now. How about I just cast you into the sea and all your armies? Only God could take an entire nation's army and cast it into the sea. You know why he did it? Because Pharaoh gave the command to cast his firstborns into the sea. The devil is going to reap something big for what he's done with abortion. You're not going to win the abortion battle in the natural. God's going to win it with living water. He says, you're going to take the life while they're in the water. God is about to have his say. Because the enemy's about to reap in a very big way what he has sown. He's been trying to quench this generation, but he ain't going to do it. God is about to bring some kind of life to this world. This life's going to come up out of his people. He's going to take them down into the bottom of the sea. He's going to baptize them in that sea. He's going to lay them in the water. And then he's going to call them up out of the water. He goes, by the way, when I call you out of this water, the Holy Ghost will be waiting on you. When he's waiting up on you, he's going to fall upon you in a brand new way. He is going to fall upon you with signs, miracles, and wonders. And whithersoever these waters flow, when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, everything that's dead is going to start living again. The fish of the sea are going to start being converted to God. Ezekiel's waters will flow with creative water, but not until the church gets out into the baptism. That's why he had to get Ezekiel out there under the water. You have a right to drink of the fountain. You have a right to live in the fountain, be found in him, because he is the fountain. Go to chapter 15. Now watch this. I like this part one. I mean, now this is the rejoicing. Listen, when these waters break Pharaoh's and Egypt's hold over your mind, will, and emotions, Egypt's hold over your body, here's what you're going to be singing. I start singing this today. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord. I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider has been thrown into the sea. You'll be walking around singing, speaking to yourself psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, because you've got some victory up in you. I'm telling you, people don't walk around speaking themselves psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs like they got some kind of victory. Most of them walk around moaning and groaning because they camped on the wrong side of the Red Sea and wondering why God has not come to defeat their enemies. Notice this. Look at verse 6. I like this right here. Notice what he contributes to the authority. Thy right hand. Anybody ever heard anything about the right hand of God? Thy right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, has dashed in pieces the enemy. I like it. Come on in. Come on in. You're going to get dashed in pieces by the right hand of God, because these waters are flowing out of the right hand of God. And these waters, the enemy has no access to. Look at verse 11. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? We're going to see the God of wonders. Thou stretchest out thy right hand, and the earth swallowed them up. God's right hand drove that water back. God's right hand parts the waters for you and closes them up upon your enemies. Isn't that awesome? Woo! Okay, now we're going to start winding it down. I'm going to show you something awesome here. Now, they get out of the Red Sea. What's the first thing they have? Now, Moses has authority with the water now. But they're on the other side of Egypt now. All of the operations of Moses' authority with the water had been judgment and separation. Those waters were meant to separate us from Egypt and bring judgment to Egypt, not you. See, the righteous part of you goes on through. He just judges the stuff, and it all gets washed out. So you come new creation, born again, again. Your spirit, your soul, and your body washed in pure water. You've been washed in the water of his word, washed in the waters of regeneration. You are walking through the baptismal waters, and the world's not following you. This is where the church is going to have victory. When they start going up into the waters, they are going to come out victorious, because the enemies are not following them out. That's when the church comes out without spot and wrinkle. That's when they come out holy and without blame. Chapter 15, verse 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. They went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness, and they found no water. Church is in its third day right now. Nanamina water flowing. The church since its conception. 1,000 years is a day. We're in our third millennial reign here. There's no water, but there is water. And when they came to Marah, waters of Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, they were named Marah, which is bitterness. Now, notice this. Now, what these waters are going to do, what God tell them to do? I like it. The people murmured, of course. And he cried to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, you can write, of life. Now you've got authority with the waters. Put the tree of life in these waters, and I'll make them live again. I'll bring the bitterness. I'll cause it to be sweet again. It doesn't matter what's happened around here. It doesn't matter your history. It doesn't matter the history of this church. It don't matter the history of your family. It doesn't matter what you've been through and how much bitterness has been around those waters. When you put the tree of life in those waters, they're going to live again. There's going to be sweet water flowing. I see sweet water flowing. I have no remembrance of the past. That just got buried in the sea. I'm seeing sweet water flowing. I'm seeing waters of life flowing. Just put me in front of a bunch of bitter people and these waters are going to start flowing up in front of them. The tree of life is going to start flowing, and their bitter waters are going to become sweet. God's going to start taking some very bitter people and making them sweet again. He'll make them sweet with the power of living water. Going to make people sweet again. Going to make them nice again. Going to make them live again. Going to be joyful again. You're going to get around there before the waters. You get in front of somebody bitter and say, God, let me run. Let me run. Get me away from them. God said, no, no, no. You got a new operation now. Go plant the tree of life with them. Go plant the tree of life. You got waters. Let the tree of life get up in their bitter water. They're going to start treating you real nice. They're going to start liking you. They start having favor on you because you got water flowing. You got a tree of life, and you now go put that tree right there. Every morning you wake up, you got somebody difficult around you. You say, Father, I just plant the tree of life with him. I just stick that tree right up in there. We're going to turn all these bitter waters sweet. Before we're done here, we're going to have sweet waters flowing. We're going to have living waters flowing. He won't be my friend. See, when the life's flowing, you don't see your enemies anymore. You just see bitter water being made sweet. Say, so you're just bitter water, but we're going to make you sweet again. Why? Because I have authority with water. When you got authority with water, you can take a real bitter person, turn them, and when this water gets on them, when the tree of life gets on them, guess what? They're going to start be sweet. God's going to change everything, going to change all of us. Oh, I know he is, because I'm being changed in the living water. This ain't a one man. Everybody got the living water on the inside of them. Amen? Yeah, give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. You may have some bitterness. Let the tree of life get planted up in you. Because he's going to turn that to living water. He's going to wash that bitterness out of your soul. He's going to wash that bitterness out of your body and your soul, your mind, will, and emotion. You're not going to be bitter no more. You're going to walk around with sweet water. I like this next part. Verse 26. Y'all ready? And he said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, say diligently hearken. You got to be diligent with the living waters. You got to be diligently to keep them. Will thou do which is right in his sight, will give ear to his commandments and keep his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. He established a covenant of healing. As soon as he broke Egypt off of them, as soon as he healed the bitterness, guess what happened? I am the Lord that healeth thee. And for 40 years, none of them were sick. I'm telling you, our government's going to be seeking us out. I want some of that healthcare system you got going on down there in Houston Revival Center. It's all about money, you understand. The health system all about money. It's not about health, it's about the money. Hey, Jesus done paid for 40 years, kept a whole nation free of sickness and infirmity. Who wouldn't want that? When your waters get healed and Egypt is broken off of your life. you are going to be one whole person walking around all the time. I said, God, get me in the waters. Not another day of sickness. I let these waters get up in the cells of my body. Let it get up in my organs. Let it get up in my mind. Flood my body with healing waters. Flood my body with living waters. Flood me up. Oh, baptize me in the waters of healing. Oh. How do I know waters have healing in them? Ezekiel 47, whithersoever these waters shall flow, they shall be healed. It's right there next to the healing. Guess what's next? Verse 27, ha! And they came to Elam. Ah, 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. When God gets Egypt out of us, guess what? Here come the apostolic waters. The apostolic fountains. I'm bringing you the apostolic. Those 12 were the origination of the 12 apostles, and the 70 palm trees were the 70 disciples. The beginning of God's apostolic government. 70 palm trees and 12 wells of water. I knew there was some apostolic water up in these waters. He's going to go camp you right down into the apostolic well. Said, now drink. Stay right here for a while and drink from the apostolic well. Drink from the wells of the apostolic waters. Drink, drink. Sit up under these palm trees. Sit up under these discipleship. 12 wells of water. Drink, drink from these apostolic wells. Because where I'm taking you, you're going to need some apostolic authority. And I'm going to put this water in you. I'll be sitting over there and say, God, feed me. Feed my thirst, quench my thirst with this apostolic water. Let these 12 wells spring up on the inside of me, for there is an apostolic government sitting up in these waters. If I drink from them, they're going to flow out of me. If I drink from the wells, if I can see the water, I'll drink from it. If I drink from it, it's going to flow up out of me. If it flows up out of me, the Holy Ghost is going to anoint the 12 wells with apostolic government. It's going to flow. You mark my word, there will be an apostolic operation in this place. There'll be apostolic waters flow up out of here. It's going to flow to every tongue, tribe, and nation. That well will release from this place. These wells will release, and this water will flow. Oh, hallelujah. Let's all stand. Glory to God.